faithful, I'm going to ask you to do what we do every single Sunday morning. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We do this every Sunday. If you're in your home right now and you are watching me via Facebook Live or in any other fashion, I'm going to ask you to, if you can, I'm going to ask you to get up off of your couch and stand to your feet. Because so many times in a week's time, the devil tries to knock you down. So many times in a day, the devil tries to get you to where you want to quit, where you want to give up, where you're frustrated, where you're irritated. And so I'm going to begin to pray. If you've battled depression, I want you to begin to let that go off of you right now. If you've battled irritation, anxiety, stress, a drug addiction, if you're in need of a healing, I'm going to ask you to begin to praise God. I'm going to ask you to be expecting God to come right and meet you where you're at. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, right now you said in your word, God, that you needed a binder and you said that you needed a looser. So, Daddy God, right now, in Jesus' name, I bind up every spirit of infirmity. I bind up depression in this place. I bind up irritation and anxiety right now in Jesus' name. God, I loose right now the spirit of peace, God, that passes all understanding. Lord, for every person in need of a healing in this place, God, if they're here right now in this sanctuary, God, if they're watching in Facebook, God, however they're hearing this, Lord, I ask that you touch their bodies, God, right now. For every person, Lord, and they're struggling right now with depression, God, I ask you right now to do what only you can do. I ask that you administer comfort right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you right now, God, to walk up in that hospital room right where Mama Brenda is. God, I ask that you touch that body right now in Jesus' name. God, I plead the blood of Jesus over that body. Lord, I tell you right now, God, I thank you that you made her a servant. And God, I remind you of that, God. And I thank you right now that healing is flowing through that body. It's entering that mind right now. It's entering into every cell. Every fiber of her being, God, is being touched by who you are right now. God, I thank you for what you're going to do in this service. And Lord, I just tell you to have your way, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God is good. It's been another full week. I want to welcome you to Paris Christian Center. If you're watching me on Facebook Live, if you're here and you've never been here before, I'm going to give you a very short disclosure about my preaching style. I'm not going to sugarcoat the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't need to be sugarcoated. It needs to be presented exactly how it is. And so I want to tell you that I'm very unpolitically correct. If you're not careful, I will say something up in this service that will probably offend the heck out of you. And here's what I'm going to tell you ahead of time. You're going to have to get over it. The Word of God is offensive because it's going to tell you that you need to make a change. The Word of God is offensive because it's going to tell you at times that you're doing wrong. The Word of God is offensive because at times it's going to convict that heart that's in error and it's going to make you want to be a better person. And so what you don't need and what the world does not need right now is one more pastor that wants to tickle your fancy, and that is how it is. We won't dance around anything this morning because I have no rhythm whatsoever. So you don't want that. You don't want me singing and you don't want me dancing. Take my word for it. So anyhow, one of the things that has really been on my heart, and it's something people call me Pastor Real Deal, and that's just kind of a nickname that they've given me over the years. I've preached since I was 19 years old. Those of you that are curious, I'm not one of them women that's going to dance around how old they are. I'm 36 years old. I've been in the ministry my entire life. I was here every time the doors were open. And so that's a little bit of history on me. I know a lot of people, they wonder about people in ministry. And so that's my biography right there, if it means anything to you. So anyhow, I'm going to let that cell phone turn off. I'm going to ask you right now, if you've got a cell phone and it's on, I'm going to ask you to turn it on silent. Why? Because what we need right here and right now is the Holy Spirit to show up and to not be quenched. Now that's my fabulous deacon, Brother Sam LaCare. If I ever committed a crime, I would call him and we'd take care of it. No, I'm just kidding. He'd have my back. Now let me tell you something. If you can't take a little joke, this is going to be a hard sermon for you to get past. Those of you that's your clock watchers, we're going to get out of here at 12 o'clock or before. like to tell people what they're in for. You ever get up into something and you are thinking, what did I get myself up into? I've been there. You ever start listening to somebody preaching, you're going, oh my God, I got to listen to that. When did they let out? We let out at 12. So anyhow, I was riding along with Dad the other day, and we were talking, and you know, when you're in the ministry, it's pretty well all you know. You live it, you breathe it. It is who you are through and through. And so we were talking and praying about y'all and everything, and I said, you know, Dad, one of the main goals that I have for Paris Christian Center, and it's important that you guys know the heart of your pastor. My biggest goal, really, in the ministry, besides winning souls, is just that people can just be real. Just be real. There is so much fake that goes on, it's ridiculous. If you're here today and you're struggling with whatever that you're struggling with, I'm going to encourage you to keep it real. If you come up in here and you're having an issue with whatever, I'm going to ask you to just keep it real. Keep it real. If you're hurting and you're afraid to come up into this place because you can't pretend not one more day, I'm going to ask you to come and stop pretending. We don't need pretending going on. What we need is for people to just keep it real, because when you can keep it real, God can meet you right in that place where you've just been honest, where you've just been truthful to yourself, or you've been truthful to God. And, you know, I said, my main goal is for people to walk up into Paris Christian Center and just be able to keep it real. I don't want pews in this church filled with a bunch of fake folks. I want true grit people that can keep it real. If you're struggling one day, if you've had a knockdown drag out with your spouse, come to church. Why do I say that? Because if that's going to happen, it's going to happen on Sunday. All right? Let's keep it real. If you're struggling with anxiety and stress and depression and suicidal thoughts, I want you to come into this place. If you're hurting so bad and you think that you're never going to make it, I want you to come in here. Because by golly, if you can't come into your church and be real, you definitely can't be real out there. It's going to eat you up. It's going to eat you up. So one of the things that I want to minister on today, I think it's so important that we get this straight. This is the second Sunday of 2022. We got to get some things straight. We got to keep them straight. And God, help me to keep it real with you. God, help me to keep it real with you. You can lie to yourself, you can lie to your mama, but you can't lie to God. The title of this message, once again, God, help me to keep it real with you. One of the main jobs of a pastor, I get 45 minutes with you a week. I preach one service. This pastor here, I get 45 minutes with you. That's why I preach till 12 o'clock, because I'm going to make every moment count. But our main thing that we do is when we got you here in God's house, we try to fill you up so full of the Word of God that when you go out there, you can handle your business. When you go out there, you can handle life. When you go outside of the walls of the church, you know what to do. If a pastor doesn't equip you to do that, they're slacking on their job. Amen? That's why I don't sugarcoat stuff. The moment I start sugarcoating stuff, people are going to be like, well, that's not for me. I've had people ask me before. I've had people corner me in the back. Pastor, I want to talk to you. Okay. Take a number. I feel like you were preaching right at me. Well, let's clear the air. I am. But before I can ever preach to you, I have to preach it to myself. If this message is for anybody, it's for me first. So So God, help me to keep it real with you. Let's turn right now to Psalms chapter 139. We're going to look at verse 1. I'm going to plant a seed in that heart today of why it is so important for you to keep it real with God. I'm going to show you chapter and verse that you can build your life on the importance of why should we keep it real with God. A lot of people think that they are keeping it real with God. But it's the little foxes that really spoil the vine. And when your vine gets spoiled, you got a real issue. So, Psalms chapter 139, verse 1, it says here, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You can keep it real with God because at the end of the day, He knows you best. I'm going to give you reasons why you need to keep it so real with God, so pure and so transparent. The Word of God says that you've searched me and that you know me. And what I want to tell you today is that God has searched every part of you and God knows you. He knows you by name. He knows the very hairs that are on the top of your head. He's counted them one by one. He knows every single tear that you've cried. He knows the whole story. He knows things that you're going to bed and you're crying over and you're telling God, Lord, I need a change. See, God knows those things. So when I tell you to keep it real with God, I'm telling you to keep it real with God because, Keisha, that's our best chance because we don't know ourselves. You ever done something and you thought, how did I do that? You ever put your foot in your mouth and you're thinking, whoa, that came out of me? Yes, it did. I just stick my size 9 in my mouth multiple times last week. Why? Because I can't even predict myself sometimes. God knows you. Why can we keep it real with God? Why should we keep it real with God? Because ain't nobody knows you like God does. Nobody knows you to the fullest. And to the Word of God says, Lord, I am fully known by you. God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows what's going to happen for you 10 years from now. He knows. And it says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. Look here, God knows your next move. God knows your next wrong turn. He knows your next right move. He knows it. We don't know those things. God knows them. Why can we keep it real with God? Because God knows you in and out. God knows. How many of you, when you go to the doctor, you're wanting to go to someone intelligent?
Lord, please let this physician be intelligent.
I can say that because I worked for doctors for 14 years, and I met some dumb ones, and I met some smart ones. Now, I'm not politically correct, so yes, I just said the word dumb, and I stand behind it. People are like, oh, that pastor said the word shut up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, don't be so uptight. I'm going to say worse than that in 40 minutes. Get over it. So anyhow, it says, you know when I sit, and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You perceive my thoughts from afar. What does that mean? That means that before we think that first wrong thought, God knew we were going to think it. God knows our thought. You know, whatever you think in your mind, you can act it out. Whatever you think in your mind, you'll do it. You keep thinking on it, you'll do it. I know a lot of people, they say, I said, whoa, boy, I heard something. I saw something on Facebook. Did you really do such and such? Did you really cuss that person out? Yeah, Pastor, I did it. How'd you do that? Well, I just kept thinking about doing it, and I did it. He perceives our thoughts from afar. Why can we keep it real with God? Because He knows the very next silly thing that you're going to say. He knows the very moment to put somebody right in your path that needs to hear something about God, and He knows that your mouth is going to be the one to say it. See, God knows those thoughts, and not only does He know them, but He knows them from afar. See, God knows exactly what to place in that heart. He knows exactly. He knows the moment to allow you to have that thought. Look here. You tell your thoughts to line up with the word. You tell God, Lord, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind, and I tell this mind to think thoughts that are on God's heart. God, not my agenda. God, what do you want me to think? There are times where I don't know what I think about what I think about. There are times at night where all I can do is just shut the light out and sit in the dark and meditate on what the heck happened in that day. And then I tell God, Lord, that was just messed up. Sometimes I'm praying for people and I'm going, how did they get into that? Better yet, there's times where I shut them lights out and I'm sitting here and I'm going, how did I get into that? Amen. God knows your thoughts and he knows them from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. God, you are familiar with everything that I do, every tendency, everything that I'm liable to do. God, you're familiar with it. You are familiar with all of my ways. Why can you keep it real with God? Because God knows you in and out. He knows your ways. Even a child is known by their actions. Even a child has a reputation. Why can we keep it real with God? Because God knows it all. God knows. He knows our ways. He knows our ways. Number four, verse four, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. Not does he just know it a little bit. Before that thing ever, before you speak life out of your tongue or before you speak death out of your tongue, God knew those words and he knew them in its entirety. He knew them completely. You ever say something and you think, I would do anything to take that back? I know people, they've said things out of their mouth and they've never been able to get over them. That's how hurtful and what an impact that their words had on their life. God knows it completely. He knows all the words that you'll ever speak. He knows them completely. There's times where I'm thinking thoughts and I just tell them to God because you know what? God already knows them. God, I'm thinking this. God, I want to say this so bad. Do you know how many times that I've put something in that phone and just had to delete it? There's that battle with that flesh where you're like, I don't care if I'm a pastor or not. I'm going to say that. Look here. You best be careful. That'll get you. Just because you can say something doesn't mean you should. Because I give you a little hint. Ain't nobody gets away with nothing. That's for the sinner and that's for the saint. God knows your words. He knows your thoughts. He knows you're coming. He knows you're going. Why can you keep it real with him? Because that is your best shot at your best life. Because he already knows what you're going to do. He already knows what you're going to say. He has your whole life, every day of your life, every breath that you take, he's got it in the palm of his hand. So the reason you should keep it real is because he holds that. He holds it. And he knows you so well. Let's keep reading here. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. See, a lot of times we're asking God, God, show up in this situation. God, send your glory. God, do this. God, do that. What you need to know is God already done it. He already did it. A lot of times I'm saying to God, God, all this situation really needs is just your hand of favor over it. So God, in Jesus' name, help me to get up in the right flow of things to where you've got your hand right over this situation. See, God put his hand on you. He called you by name. He knew exactly who would be here today. He knows exactly who's going to watch this 5 years from now. That's the thing about being a televangelist, I never predicted I was going to be that till the pandemic. Thank you, coronavirus. But when something's out on the internet, it's out. Amen. There ain't no reeling that back in. Amen. That's why sometimes I just tell Pastor Jeremy, I'm not going to be on TV today because today's not a good day for that. You got to know your limitations. Every once in a while, it's not a good day for me to be around people and in public. I can keep it real with that. Why? Because I know. God's helped me to show me myself, and I know there's times, Gary, I ain't going to be good. And you know what I do? I keep it real with God. Okay, God, help me. Help me and make me better because I'm having an issue. So God knows us. He knows everything about us. So it says, you hem me in behind and before you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Why can we keep it real with God? Because there's nowhere you can go that you're ever going to get away from him. Where could you go? Where can you go that you're not have God seeing exactly what's going on? There's times when I have got to be a referee between my two boys. And I can't see everything, so sometimes it's hard to make a good judgment call on who was in the wrong. All right? Now look here. We all God's kids up down here, and that don't happen with God because, see, God sees it all. There are times where we down here, we get hung up over stuff that people did to us. And we're sitting there and we're telling God, God, you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. You don't know the hurt that they caused. You don't know the trouble that they caused me in my life. You don't know the years that I've spent in a depression because of what people did. See, I want to tell you something and I want to correct something in our thinking today. God knows exactly what's gone on with you. Why can you keep it real with God? Because from the very moment that God created the heavens and the earth, he kept it real with us. That's why we can keep it real with him, because there's not a thing that he left out when it came to us kids. And we're sitting here and we're telling God, God, you don't know what they did. Look here, Keisha, God knows what they did. If I've had to wrestle one thing to the ground over the past 3 years, it's that right there. I kept telling God over and over, God, you don't know what they did. God, I can't forgive them because, God, I'm not willing to say sorry because, God, I'm not sorry. See, I'm not one of these people that's going to be fake and give an apology when I ain't sorry. David, God had to make me sorry on the inside. God knows what's gone on with you. That's why you can keep it real with him. What does God want us to do when people injure us that bad on the inside? You know what he wants us to do? He wants us to get on our knees and get it right. Pray for those who've hurt you. That's a hard thing to do because when you first start doing that, you're probably not going to mean it. You know how many times I've gotten on my knees? Lord, help my enemy. God, I don't mean this right now, but God, help me to mean it. Practice makes perfect, right? Okay. Crystal, I've got down on my knees many a times and prayed many prayers that were not sincere. But one day, when I got up out of that prayer, God made me a sincere woman after I prayed it. Took a long time. God knows what's gone on with you. He knows the people that have left something right there inside of you and you feel like you can't shake that off. God knows it. God knows it. If you're having trouble in here this morning and you're saying, I still can't forgive or I still can't this, there's a little nick there. Tell it to God. God, I'm walking in unforgiveness. Lord, I don't want to. My spirit man doesn't want to. But God, I'm still doing that because there's something up here that wants to keep that person in that jail of unforgiveness. Now, God, I know that your word says that I've got to forgive exactly the way that you forgave me. So, God, I'm having a problem right now. Lord, I ask that you'd help me because I know that my life right now is not lining up with the word. Do you know when your life isn't matching up? If you do, that's great. Why? Because keep it real with God about it. You don't got to sit there. You know how many times I've heard, I will be at church, Pastor Kelly, when I get this certain part of my life fixed. God ain't waiting on you to fix nothing. Because here, let's be honest, we're incapable. The more I try to fix things without God, the more they are messed up. And boy, can I mess some things up. God's not waiting on you to get done with a major problem before you serve him. God's not waiting on you to have the right outfit to come and to be his kid. God ain't hung up over that stuff. That's why you can keep it real with him. God's ready for people to just be like, Lord, here I am, and I'm a hot mess, but Daddy God, I'm yours. Please do something with me. That's what God's ready for. Let's keep that real. Amen. So there ain't nowhere that we can go that's not in the presence of God. I love this name, this Omicron. Because I got one better for you now. God is omnipresent. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word will never change. It's never going to change. Why can you keep it real with God? Because he's the one thing, the one person that's not changing. He hasn't changed his mind about you. He hasn't changed his mind about your life. He hasn't changed his mind about your calling. He hasn't changed his mind about your blessing. He hasn't changed his mind about your breakthrough. He hasn't changed his mind about your health. If you're struggling in those areas, I encourage you to keep it real with God. There are things right now, Gary, I'm having to just keep it real with God. God, I'm having this issue. And Daddy God, unless you change it, God, I'm going to have an issue. We got to keep those things real. See, the problem in the church today, I'm not even really necessarily concerned with the sinners because I love sinners and I'm going to get as many of them saved as possible. Look here, I'm more worried about the Christians that's faking all their stuff. That's what I'm concerned about.
Glory to God.
Right, Melissa? Let's all come to church. Let's all keep it very real. It's hard to help somebody when you don't realize there's something wrong. You got a problem? Let's get it out. Why? Because whatever God reveals, God can heal. God can't heal a wound when you're saying it's not there. If something's got you and it's hurting you, you tell God about it. You keep that part real. You say, God, I know this happened 10 years ago, but I'm still messed up over it. God, I know that I was supposed to forgive that person a long time ago, but God, I'm still replaying in my mind what they said. See, keep it real with God. Keep it real with them. Everybody's like, this is just a classic. Nobody told me when I became a pastor I was going to have to be Dr. Phil.
Glory to God.
And let me tell you something. I'm not near as educated as Dr. Phil, and I'm not near as patient. And I say, what is your goal in your life? The number one thing people say, I just want to be happy. How many of you folks out here, you want to be happy in your life? Okay. Your best chance at that is to keep it real with God. Whatever problems that you're having, whatever strongholds on your life, whatever addiction you're wanting to lay down and you're having trouble, you keep that thing and you keep it real. You keep it real. What keeps us from keeping it real? Denial. Denial. I don't really have a problem. I'm not really a jerk. Yes, you are. I'm the biggest jerk I know. So it takes one to know one.
Poor Jackie's over here going, oh my God, there's nothing she won't say.
That's why God picked me, Jack. I'll say it. And not only will I say it, but I'll stand behind it. Next place for me, Psalms chapter 139, verse 23 and 24. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. When was the last time? See, the word says, we just read it over here in Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Now we're looking at verse 23, and this is a request. There's a difference between those two verses. The first one is a statement. God, you search me, and God, you know me. Verse 23, it's a request. Search me, O God, and know my heart. God, search me. Search me. When you're coming up in places in your life where you're broken, where you're stressed, where you feel like you can't go on, in those places, what you got to do is you got to say, God, please come in here and please search me. What a lot of people want to do is they want to say, God, go to Sally Sue and search her because she's got issues. And we're all concerned with what everybody else's problem is. Look here. We're not answering for anybody else on Judgment Day. We're answering for ourselves. That's why when we come to these places, and don't kid yourself, you're going to come to them in your life. You'll get through them. Dwayne, guess what? We'll come to them again. We constantly work through life. That's called working out your own salvation, and you better be doing it with fear and trembling, because if you're not, you're going to struggle. All right? When we get to these places in our life, number one, you can keep it real with God, but number two, ask Him to come in and search that. Ask Him to come in and search it. He'll show you exactly. He'll give you such precious instruction and wisdom and insight. All He's waiting for is you to say, tell Him that that's what you want. So many people think God is such a mean, heartless God. God loves His kids more than He ever loved anything else. God's not the God that's barging through and busting you up and hurting you and whacking you over the head when you make a mistake. God is the God that Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 talks about. Behold, I stand at that door and I knock. What door is He standing on? First of all, the door in your heart. What's the other doors? The door of your healing. The door of your provision. The door of your marital problems. See, God wants to come into some things and people telling God, no, I get it. I really get it. Amen. Why can you keep it real with God? Because God is your biggest fan. Yes, he didn't spare anything when it came to you. He gave it all up. How many of you people in here, you got kids? Okay. I don't know about y'all, but I wouldn't give up any of my kids for a bunch of ungrateful folks. That's what God did. The Word of God said, they never received me. What does God say about Judgment Day? There's going to be people, and He talks to them, and He looks them right in the face, and He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Amen. See, these things are not fables. These things are going to happen. That's why you've got to have somebody that's bold enough to look you in the eye and say, look here, you can kid everybody else, but you can't kid God. You best keep it real with Him. Amen. You best keep it real with Him. Talk to God. Ask Him. Say, God, come up into this heart and search me, oh God, and know my heart. God, I also want you to do something else. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. How many of you, just this week, you've had thoughts and they've just anxious thoughts, one right after another. Your mind just wants to race with anxiety, with thoughts that just want to come and take root up into your life. Look here. The Word of God says that you can ask God to come up inside of you, to search your heart, and to test every single anxious thought. 90% of what we worry about never happens. Why does the devil work 100% of the time in your thought life? Because if he can get your thoughts lining up with the curse that he has for you, he's got you. These things happen in your thoughts. They happen in your thoughts. They happen in your thoughts. Ask God to come in and test those thoughts. When you have anxiety, ask him to come in and test that. A lot of pastors, they'd be like, I don't have anxiety. I don't have fear. I don't have depression. I don't have none of that stuff. Look here, I got all that stuff. I'm a hot mess. I sit back every day and I'm like, God, why did you want me to do this? Because I'm more messed up than any of these folks. Look here, you best be you. You best do what God called you to do. Come hell or high water. Come problem or victory. You got to do it. You're going to have a better time in your life if you can keep it real with God. You can fake everything. It's not going to get you anywhere. You can fake it, but you can't fake it with God. You don't even need to waste your time. You need to just keep it real. Keep it real with God. Tell God, God, come into here, search my heart, know my heart. God, test those thoughts in my life. Verse 24 is a very powerful verse. See if there is any offensive way in me. See if there is any offensive way in me. We just read Psalms 139 and verse 3, you discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Now we go over here to Psalm 139, verse 24, and it says here, see if there is any offensive way in me. God knows your ways. But you can ask God to come up in there and say, God, you know what? Do a checkup on me. You ever went to the doctor just because nothing was wrong, but you needed a checkup? Same thing. God, give me a checkup and tell me if there's anything that I'm doing that's offensive. That's called getting ahead of the problem. That's called getting ahead of the problem. Some of us, we're looking down the road and we're seeing problems. And they keep getting closer and closer and closer. And we're doing nothing about them. How many of you, through some of the worst heartache of your life, if you could have said, God, come up in here and search me and find every offensive thing that's going to cause me to trip up. God, search me and show them to me. And God, I'm going to change that. Because God, I don't want to go through that battle that's unnecessary. Some of your battles, you didn't have to go through. Did God allow you to go through them? Yeah. Did you have to go through them? No, not every one of them. How many of you know that there are things in your life that hurt you really bad that you could have avoided? If you will keep it real with God, you can have less and less and less of that. It is so important for people to keep it real with God this year. Why? Because God's got amazing things for you. What is it going to take? Be real. Be real. There's nothing worse than a fake Christian. How can I say that? Because I've been that. How can you preach about something so good? Because you've lived it. It's very simple. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, why do you want God to come up in there and show you your ways. Because if you don't, there's going to be some ways that you travel down, and they're not going to be everlasting. They're going to ruin your life. They're going to change the course of some things. How many of you, I've been in pivotal moments, Keisha, where if I could go back, I would have changed those things. They were wrong, and I did them, and I had to suffer consequences for doing them, and they changed the course of some things. I'm not saying God didn't capitalize on it and make it better. I'm not saying God didn't know it. I'm not saying God didn't factor that in. But there were mistakes and sins that I made where I zigged and I should have zagged, and I had to pay for them. How many of you have ever had to, the wages of sin, what is it? Death. See, when Adam and Eve ate that fruit, they just thought they was going to kill over dead. They didn't kill over dead physically. A lot of other stuff died. See, we think that we know how that thing is going to affect us. We don't. You best be real with God about it, and He'll show you, and He'll tell you. What does it say? God, show me your ways. Search me. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 9 through 10. We just read Psalms chapter 139, verse 23, and it said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Why is it so important for God to know your heart? Well, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. This is where so many Christians miss it. Miss it. The heart is deceitful and above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Why do we need to tell God on a regular basis to come up in that heart and to know that heart and tell us what we're doing wrong? Because look here, you can't do that for yourself. You don't have the knowledge and the wisdom to look at your own heart and to be able to judge it accurately. Why? Because you're going to deny half of it. That's just the truth. The heart is deceitful above all things. Above everything, that heart that God gave you is deceitful. It can lie to you. It can make you zig when you should have zagged. There's one thing that I've learned in life is exactly what my daddy taught me. You've got to know when to hold them. You've got to know when to fold them. And you've got to know when to walk away. There's people that should have held them. There's people that should have folded them. There's people that should have walked away. They got off because their heart deceived them. Don't let your heart deceive you. Keep it real with God. Keep it real with Him. Tell God. When you're sinning, this is Sister Blabbermouth, I want y'all to pray for her. I was worried about her. I've been worried about her for a couple months, and I've been telling God when I'd wake up in the middle of the night, God, help her. God, I love her so much. God, I know you've got her right in the palm of your hand. God, don't let anything happen to her. She called me the other day. She said, "Pastor Kelly, I'm in detox." I said, "God, I know that you had her call me just so I would stop that worrying. Thank you, God. Just so I'd stop that." Let me tell you something. Sister Blabbermouth and I, we've had many a conversations. And I would say, "You just need to talk to God." And she said, "When I'm sinning, I can't." That's a lie from the devil. When I'm thinking wrong thoughts, I can't pray. When I'm in willful sin, I can't connect with God. Look here. Get on your knees. Ask God to change you. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to meet you right in that place where you can't. Because what we know is that God can. Ask Him to come right into that place. I said, "Look here, Sister Blabbermouth. If I know anything about who God is, He wants to talk to you when you're high as a kite." Now, I know that's not politically correct, but it is the truth. If you're messed up, God wants to talk to you. If you're broken, God wants to talk to you. If you've just done a number 10, God wants to talk to you. I said, look here, you don't think that God can't talk to you through a high state? God will talk. He'll do his best talking to you within. And isn't it funny how when you get high, the first thing you want to do is talk to him? People get up in jail, they get up in prison, and they get prideful, and they don't want to act like they had jailhouse religion. Look here, you have whatever you need to have to get it right. Be real with God. Be real with him. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Look here. You don't need to try to do God's job, because ain't nobody going to do God's job like he does. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. Nobody can do that besides God. I search the heart and I examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Why do you need to keep it real with God? He knows you best. He knows you best. He looks in that heart. He searches it. And he knows it. And then he examines your mind. I was thinking about this the other day. It's been a long time. I think I've almost been out of school for like 20 years. That's just crazy. Making me feel old. But I was thinking about this, Casey. And I was thinking, you know, why would a teacher give a kid a test? And here's why they do it. Because they have to have something to go off of to see the knowledge that a person has. God, come up in here, search this heart, and test my thoughts. Why do you want God to test your thoughts? Because look here. There's thoughts that we're having, we don't need to act on them. There's thoughts that we're having, we need to act on them. You got to be able to know the difference. The only way you can know that difference is if you've kept it so real with God. I don't care what you're going up through here today. People on Facebook, I don't know how you got across here and you got a hold of me, but you know what? It was a divine appointment that you did. And I'm telling you now, be real with God. Be real with him. If you're thinking some God-awful, sinful thoughts, tell him about it. Well, here's what religious people would say. Well, he already knows them. Yeah, he knows everything. That's besides the point. What does the Bible say? He who confesses his sins. Sin is meant to be confessed, not hidden. We have to keep it real with God. You want to have a great year? God's got a great year. God's not out of great years. He's not out of anything. Keep it real. Keep it real with him. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 26. I want to tell you that it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. What does that mean? We all have troubles. We all have trials. We all have tribulation. The Word of God says, life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome them. Okay? So I'm not up here telling you that you're never going to have a problem. You're going to have problems. You're going to struggle. Is it going to be all struggle? No, you're going to have some amazing victories that only God could have done. But when you do struggle, there are times where you're going to come to a place in your life and you're not even going to know what to pray. Have you ever been there? You got so discouraged, you got so angry, you got so whatever, and you just said, I don't even know what to even pray about this situation. I've just had it. Why can you keep it real with God? Because when you can't pray, he's praying for you. I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. There have been times where I was in the thick of it so bad that I just threw my hands up and I just said, God, I don't even know what to pray. There have been times where I've come up in here and been mad that I was in church, okay? And I'm the pastor. I get it. There have been times where I've stood here and my arms felt so heavy I didn't even feel like I could praise God. Ask God to do some praying for you. Ask the Holy Spirit to come up in there when you can't pray, when you don't have the words to pray, when you're hurting so bad and you don't know. Ask God, Lord, let the Holy Spirit come in here and wash over everything that's going on with me. God, I don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit does. Lord, minister to me. Why can we keep it real with God? Because ain't nobody can do these things but God. If we could do these things for ourselves, we wouldn't need God. We need God every moment of every single day. So we got to keep it real with Him. Last place for me, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. My dad was doing a Bible study this morning, and he was going over the things that could never be shaken, and the second one on his list was the Word. Was the Word. Why can we keep it real with God? Because there's not a single word that He has spoken over us that will ever return void. The problem with the believer today is, Jenny, they don't know the Word. That's the problem. We got a bunch of have-it-your-way Christians where we want to roll up in the drive-thru of who God is and we want to make our order and then get mad at Him when it doesn't come out right. Look here. Didn't come out right because you didn't get the Word over that part of your life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Why is it important to have the Word in your life? Because, see, the Word is living and it's active. If you'll have the Word flowing through your life, that Word is going to go to those parts in life where you need it the most, and it's going to take root. For the Word of God is living and it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Look here, Brother Mike, if we'll get the Word, that Word is going to do exactly what it's supposed to. It's going to start doing a dividing. There's things in our lives that we need in our lives. God put them there. There's things that we don't need. God wants to do a separation. If you'll get into the Word, there's a promise. It's living. It's living. When you put that Word in that heart, see, David said, God, Your Word have I hidden in my heart. Your Word have I planted in my heart. Whenever you plant something, you're going to have something come up, whether it's good or whether it's bad. What's going to be coming up? That choice is yours. See, God ain't taking your choices. You're free to do what you want to do. What do you want to do? It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Why do you need to keep it real with God? Because look here. God's got amazing things for you. Get the Word that's alive. Put it in your heart. When you're sick, you can pray over that part of your life and you can say, God, now your Word said that you already healed me. When it looks like you're going to have a defeat and you're not going to be victorious, you can repeat that part of the Word in your life that said, God, you said that you already gave me victory. God, you said that you owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. Why am I coming up short? See, if you don't know the Word, you can't speak the Word. If you don't know the Word, you can't plant the Word. If you don't have something planted up in your heart, when hard times come, you're not going to have anything to go off of. But if you'll get the Word up in that heart and up in that soul, look here, at the name of Jesus, everything has to stop. Everything has to yield. Christians, stop saying that name. That's the problem. I was excited about this message because, look here, this message was for me. I needed to hear it. God is faithful. God is just. God is into blessing you. God is into helping you. God is into getting you up out of whatever's holding you back and letting you go forward. Look here. Keep it real with Him. Keep it real with Him. If you've sat here today and you're saying to yourself, Lord, there's a part of me that I want to be so real with you. I'm going through something. I need to keep it so real with you, God. I'm going to ask you to stand up. It's hard to keep it real with God sometimes. It's difficult. Do it anyways. Keep it real with God. When you struggle and you have those thoughts that you want to act like you didn't have, own them. Say, yeah, I thought it. God, help me. Help me not to think it anymore. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person, God, that's heard this and responded to your Word. Lord, I thank you right now, God, for the courage and the ability, God, to just keep it real with you. God, I ask you right now for conviction to fall where it needs to fall. Lord, I ask you for provision, God, where there needs to be provision. God, I thank you for everything that you've done up in this service. Lord, I thank you, God. Lord, there's things, and it's hurting your kids, and they can't even talk about them. And God, I ask you right now to heal them up. Comfort them like only you can, God. And Lord, we praise you. God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, God, for the miracles that you've got just for this week for us, God. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Whoever had those 2 cakes, see me in the back.